Sunday Evangelium with Father Marcus Holden, on the 15th Sunday of the year.
God's word is powerful. If we allow it, it will change our world and our lives. Jesus Christ is God's word. God's word is efficacious, no less today than 2,000 years ago, when Jesus preached on the shores of Galilee, the message we have heard today in our Gospel. St. Bernard used to say that the moment we say we're safe and fine in the spiritual life, then we are lost. We never stand still. We are either advancing or falling back. It will be ever thus in this world. A reflection on the parable of the sower makes a very healthy examination of conscience in this regard. When Jesus spoke these words, he knew of the reactions of different people to his message. He knows our reactions, what kind of soil we are for his words. What kind of soil do I present to the seed of the word of God? Does the seed really take root in me? Jesus gives us an explanation of this parable himself. It is quite unique in this sense. He speaks of three dangers to the precious seed of the word. The first is the danger of the edge of the path. That's one who hears without understanding. The evil one then steals it away. This first peril for the seed is to do with knowledge and perception. So many have heard about Jesus. Most people could relate the basic story of his life, then as now, but many simply don't get it. It's a bit like taking a foreign visitor to a cricket match, explaining the details. They don't quite understand, they can't enjoy it properly. They will be easily persuaded that it's a load of nonsense, an English eccentricity. We need to know our faith and live it to appreciate it. We cannot love what we do not know. It's disappointing that people deepen their understanding in all sorts of things. Football clubs, players at Wimbledon, gardening, cookery, but know so little about theology, the Bible, history, philosophy, the key things about our life and our world. As with all these other things, if we don't think about our faith, we will not see its relevance. Our faith will not grow if we do not want to know. That's why ongoing refreshment of our knowledge of the faith, called catechesis, is so important. We need to understand the sublime mysteries which we believe and be able to defend them. The possibility of seeds falling on the path remains a perilous option, preventing the precious seeds of the Word of God from actually reaching the soil of the heart and intellect. Rocky ground. This is the one who hears the word and receives it with joy, but has no root, so that when difficulties and persecutions arise, this person loses confidence. It does not last. He falls away at once. Now this happens all the time, doesn't it? How many of our family and friends have had a period of fervour? Perhaps we ourselves have experienced a time when our faith was our enthusiasm. Some are drawn in for a time by a great personality, an inner experience, a sense of wonder before the created world, perhaps the birth of a child or some difficulty or trauma. People can be captured by religion, by God, like a flame being lit within us. Nothing wrong here, but sometimes this initial experience is shallow and lacking in discipline, perseverance, stick-at-itness. The original excitement fades and dims quickly, and what is left? Nothing. Here people blow hot and cold. One minute they are all for Christ, ready to die for their faith, ready to give up everything. A few weeks later, nothing. You know, everything we take seriously demands a certain discipline. our families, our education, our health. If we want to be good at music, art, sport, it needs commitment. And it's the same with faith. If we want to take faith seriously, listen to St. Paul, who knew the stakes were high and what we have to suffer in this life. But he reminds us this can never be compared to the glory which is waiting for us. The rocky ground souls are the ones who say, "I go to Mass when I feel like it." We don't say that with other important things. I'll go to work or school when I feel like it. I'll care for my family when I feel good about them. Believe me, we will not coast into heaven. We have to take a cross. We have to persevere. But we have that motivation, that glory that awaits us. That can spur us on. Not that Christianity is a kind of super stoicism, the harder and tougher the better. No. But it does require that form of love called sacrifice and commitment. St. Bede says that the rocky ground stands for hard hearts, not willing to really love. Hard hearts make soft wills. If we take our spiritual life seriously, we will surround it with a certain rigour. So the way out here is commitment. Take on a spiritual task, fasting, a small regular penance, a decision to go to weekday Mass, and at least Sunday Mass, even while on holiday. Decide to keep saying no to that debilitating temptation. We really can do it. A decision to do some works of charity and self-giving on behalf of others, for the love of God. Soon the Word is so strong in us that it can cope even with the rockiest soil. Third, thorns. Seeds sown among thorns, worldly anxieties and worldly riches choke the word and it produces nothing. Again, this is common. The word of God has to be at the center, the heart of things, because it is all important. St. Paul says that we are destined to attain the freedom of the children of God. What else really matters? If we are meant to get to heaven, which lasts forever, if we're made for union with God, then what importance should our temporal worries and pursuits of wealth have in comparison? All other things are meant to orbit around God in proper order. Our faith has to be the central organizing principle of our lives. But often lesser concerns take over. How much time do we spend thinking about the cares of family, work, money, holiday, homes, personal entertainment, pleasures and projects? These can all have their place, but if they have a disproportionate hold upon our minds and hearts, then they begin to choke our real life of union with God. It's like a real strangulation. In the words of St. Gregory, they keep good desires from entering the mind. They, as it were, shut out the life-giving air. At first we can still just about breathe, but we're certainly not going to thrive. And then eventually, before we know it, our real life has been suffocated. We can no longer do the things we once did. It's interesting that our Lord calls pursuit of worldly riches a thorn. It seems a pleasant thing to the pursuer, but it inevitably leads to anxieties and cares, and it chokes our real joy that comes from God alone. St. Gregory the Great uses the phrase, "These strangle the throat of the mind with burdensome thoughts." Have you ever reached that point when the faith has become such a minimal part of life that it is barely significant? Best it becomes an hour on a Sunday. The way out here, and it's important that we do get out of this, is prayer. Prayer at set times, on Sunday especially, with our families, alone, in groups. In our minds as we pass the day, practicing the presence of God, knowing the reality of His presence. examining our conscience to make sure that the central aspect of our life is God and our faith. Rosary, recollections, and confession. This keeps us real. So, our Lord is asking for us to examine our consciences with this parable. Avoid the path, understand the faith. Avoid the rocky ground, persevere with commitment and sacrifice. Avoid the thorns, keep a sense of priorities through remaining God's presence, through prayer. And then we will bear even more fruit, 60, 30, 100-fold. As the rain and the snow come down from the heavens and do not return without watering the earth, making it yield and giving growth, so the word that goes forth from my mouth does not return to me empty. These words of Jesus, uttered 2,000 years ago, are still working their way into our minds and hearts today. How will we respond to his word?